Hello, I am Izzo Ellen, and this is Izzo Ellen Writes Grown-Up Storytime. How are you today? We are having a live stream. Can you hear me? Let's turn that on low volume. And there's Sean. What have you got, a mouse in your pocket? Yes, actually, yes. Of course, that's what that is. Sean, I see you here in the chat. You can call in at any time. I'm Izzo Ellen. I hope you guys know that by now. And today I get to interview author Sean Edward. How are you? Can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
I can. That's like the first thing I always say. That's like my new introduction, you know. Can you hear me?
Testing.
Test it, exactly. I just as an explanation that I must say just about every time, I'm just a woman with a microphone who has no idea what I'm doing. And every time I use the microphone on my laptop for something else, like last Friday I'm a very novice player, but I played Dungeons and Dragons and I use my microphone. It's a different app, so it changes it up, and then I go to use it and the computer's like, oh, I don't know who you are. We need to be introduced. And it's a pain because I can never remember the settings.
It's so like when they say you have to have like a desktop, you know, read me app just to like, okay, these are the settings. This is what I need to do.
Oh gosh, like the one for passwords, right?
Yeah.
Which I don't have either. So I have like 10 passwords that I use all the time and I can never remember which one is where. And then Google will say, there's been a security breach. You need to change it. And I'll write it down on the piece of paper and then I lose it. Yeah. I'm just a little bit, I don't know if I'd go so far as to say airhead, but flighty. That's a good word, flighty. I'm flighty. I have author brain, right? I'm flighty. Mr. Sean, do you get author brain too? Am I the only one?
Oh, all the time. It's an actual disaster sometimes when it happens. Between that and my OCD, I don't know which is worse. So.
Oh, no. So you get the author brain, but you have the OCD, so you're worrying about whether or not it's actual author brain or, you know, do you need to go back and do something 12 times with the OCD? So just to check. Oh man, that's maddening.
I don't know how often I've written a paragraph and did I already write this one? Let me go back. So I kind of edit on the fly as I write, you know. So,
and I still repeat things over and over and over and over. I was just talking to my publisher the other night about, you know, I need a magic editor who really gets me, who that magic relationship with the perfect editor. So, Sean, tell me about you write, and I was looking, you have quite a few books on Amazon. You write in a specific kind of, well, not specific. I didn't see how far you deviate from your kink, but tell me about your writing journey. How did you get started? How did you become a published author on Amazon? That is a big deal. That is really finishing the story, and then publishing the story. Are you self-published?
Yeah. So I do it all myself.
So that's even bigger, because that's a route that I choose not to take at this time because I'm just that lazy. But it's also hard. There's stuff you got to do. There's hoops and formatting and the editing and all that stuff. So how did that come about?
It's still kind of an evolution and process. I originally used to, I don't want to use the term lurk because it kind of has a negative connotation, but I used to be in Literotica quite a bit. And I published the first three episodes, books, stories on Literotica, and then thought, you know, I could put this on Amazon and, you know, continue doing my hobby that I enjoy and, you know, maybe make a nickel every now and then, you know. So I moved over to Amazon and been publishing on there since March of this year is kind of when I decided to take the plunge and just kind of learning as I go. You know, the formatting and the everything has evolved over time. The pictures and the covers have evolved over time, and you know.
Well, you see, just learning. Well, still, that's a big learning process, though. I mean, my getting it on the and then Kindle the I. See, I don't do it, but I have heard you go to upload something and then you see a mistake. And so you re-upload it and it says it's uploading and you never know. And so there are bugs in the system itself. And that would make me, that would drive, if I had, okay, I don't have OCD. I can't, but there, I have quirks that would drive me mad.
It can be maddening at times. There are times I've uploaded things and I look at it, and specifically with the blurbs on Amazon, you have to be very critical of how the formatting and HTML formatting works. And I didn't know some of the quirks, and then I would check it after it posted on Amazon. I got the email, your book is live, and I go on and it's all just a jumbled mess, and I'm like, oh my God, people are gonna think I'm an idiot.
don't look at me, look away. It's yeah. And then Amazon has its, I'm always complaining about its little it maybe you're firmly in erotica, so maybe, and I try, my genre is more, I'm shooting for a romance, but you can get like shadow banned if you put the wrong little words in your blurb, and then, or if you put it, if Amazon sees that your formatting is messed up, they'll take it down if somebody complains. And you could, there are all kinds of issues, and they're not, you know, as a, I don't know who, they're not very forgiving.
And something you have to watch out for, especially if you're an erotica writer, is, you know, like you mentioned, the terminology is, if you get dungeoned is what we call, you get dungeons. Tossed in the adult dungeon. And you don't know when that happens. It's much easier if they would just
Oh gosh.
So what happens when you're dungeoned is, the only way anybody can ever find your content is if they search for you specifically or your title specifically, which can be a disaster, you know, of course, if you're trying to entice new readers, you know. So
how do you entice new readers? I mean, they probably won't let you, you're erotica, so you can't advertise. That makes it a little different. There are more limited. Can you advertise? I mean, I know I can't because of the alpha in my book. I'm not. I have to. I can't advertise on. So how are you? Are you still? How are you enticing readers? How are you getting readers to come to you? Are you? I mean, it's hard. You're like little tiny fish in gigantic million. You know. You're like one krill of millions. So I know the feeling.
Oh yeah. And that is probably the biggest evolution that I've yet to learn the secret pill to that yet. But really it's, you know, keywords are key, you know, pardon the pun there, where, you know, you really have to make sure you're targeting the right audience and your hidden keywords, and make sure that you're placing correctly in the search results. That's the big one. And then of course, social media. So, you know, that's why I kind of have a Twitter presence, is A, to associate with like-minded, you know, people, that not only just authors, but readers and everything as well, but also to find people that, you know, do read. And if they have a voracious appetite, like I do, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. So do you have, I know there's some kind of program or something to help you with keywords. Do you have that program? I mean, have you used that?
No, kind of the secret that I've done is I just basically went A through Z of anything that I could think of that was in my genre, in my kink. And I just went into the Amazon search bar and just searched for those. And then it'll give you suggested searches that people typically do, you know. So let's say, you know, like mine is typically,
That's smart. That's much more economical. I don't know how much I couldn't, I've heard of the program. I don't, like I said, somebody else does. I don't too much. So,
I'm on that, an author's budget. I can't afford extra tools.
Exactly. I know the feel. That's good. Just go through the search and find the search. And then, do you read what you write too, so you kind of have an idea of the market? Is that helping you, or?
Yeah. So, I mean, my interests when it comes to romance and erotica is quite varied. You know, I really don't have any turnoffs when it comes to me personally. So I kind of picked the kink that I picked mainly because it's my top kink that I've had personally. Mm-hmm. But some of my works in process will actually deviate away from my main kink that I'm writing in now. So any readers or anybody that likes what I'm currently writing, hopefully that doesn't upset the apple cart too much, because I do plan on some different ones here soon.
Are you going to keep them in under the same name? Or are you going to go ahead and, oh, good. Okay. I know some kinks are a little different. Some, I know that some kink authors like to have a different, for their audience, just will do a different name for each kink. But if, for me, I always thought as an author, my name is my brand, and people, you know, if people don't like the different worlds that I create or the different, I don't know what to, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be pigeonholed. That's that, what a pain that would be to have to create a different brand for every kind of, and I know some authors do, you know, like the big famous J.K. Rowling, and she had her kids' books, but then she went to adult and did mysteries. And there's a significant reason for changing your name for that. But when, you know, and then all her readers found out who she was anyways. And so it ended up really not being that big of a deal. So I'm all for, you know, this is what I write, this is what my style is, I'm confident enough in my writing for you to say, hey, come and look at this other thing I do. I know you, that you're not just a one thing type person, maybe you'll like this too. I think that's neat. That's cool. So tell me about your what you have most up on Amazon right now.
Yeah, so currently right now, my main kink that I'm writing in, my main storyline is the Awakening Michelle series, essentially. It's planned to go 10 books in the series, and it's follows the journey of a husband and wife that have been married for a while. They had a major, you know, physical change. And when they basically got healthy and got fit, they decided to, well, I would say the husband decided to try the swinging lifestyle. And he surprises the wife, takes her out. She at first wasn't on board with it, didn't want to do it. And then as the books continue, she gets more and more into it to when she's finally in the lifestyle. And my whole premise behind the series is this is going to be kind of like the tree trunk of a main series of other offshoots that I'll have. That'll be in different keeks, different genres, follow the characters that are introduced in the main storyline.
That I like that, you know, like a story following, that's kind of a cool idea. I like that concept. A lot of writers will do, you know, different couples or different, and having that journey with one kind of, and then I bet that's kind of enticing to readers too. You want to see, it's just a full series. That's, and how, what, what inspired you to go in this direction?
You know, I've always been very intrigued about the swinging lifestyle personally, you know, and I wrote this originally kind of based upon my own personal experiences. You know, I'm very much like Mike, you know, in the story. So, you know, if you're reading my books, you know, you'll see sometimes I describe with Mike a lot better sometimes than I do with Michelle, and I do shift back and forth from the male and female perspective within the same book. Because I want to capture how the female, you know, feels during some of the encounters as well, and the sensations and feelings that she has. And I hopefully I portray it well enough, even though I'm speaking from a male's perspective, I hope that that comes across without being too cliche or clashing, I guess. But, and my wife is very much like Michelle. She's very reserved, you know, would probably literally, it'd be a nuclear explosion you'd hear from around the world if I was to pull into a swingers club one day and not tell her that I was doing so.
Does she know you're writing this? I mean, has she read your work, your wife?
No, she's not. You know, when I eventually, you know, it took me about 2 months to get up the courage to tell her that I was writing. And she originally thought that I was writing, you know, 50 Shades of Grey type of stuff. And I said, no, I'm bondage is not my king. So I don't know if she snuck on and read it and just hasn't told me, but to my understanding at this point, she's not read it yet. So I don't know. Part of me secretly hopes she'll read it. And one of these days, like, that sounds amazing, let's try that. But I don't know.
Oh, good Lord. That sounds like the dream of everything. every man alive. But you never know. I need, you know, when you, she asked if you were writing 50 Shades of Grey. I can't tell you how many stories. Okay, so it's only a handful, but still, where it's the woman who says, I want to try this. It happens. It's not that unusual, especially if you've been married a while, where the woman will be like, what do you think of bondage? What do you think of swing? You might, you know, just in a very secure, I don't know, but I've heard of it. You'd be surprised. And I'm saying that to you because it always surprises me that it's the woman that goes to, in fact, there was somebody on TikTok. She was talking about somebody had asked her how they got started because they're BDSM. And, she said, well, I had read something and then I went to my husband and he said, where's this been all of our lives? But she introduced it. So, and that had happened a couple times. It had been, and what blows me away with that, because these are dominant submissive and the women are submissive, but they're going to their husband saying, hey, so, and then he's like, oh yeah. But it always catches me off guard that it would be the woman that would approach when she's the submissive. But there's so many interesting things in those kind of dynamics anyway. So you never know, but as long as she knows you're writing, I know that when I start my first book out, my husband knew I was writing, but So that's a whole long story I'm not going to get into, but he won't be my husband much longer. So there you go. he's a good guy. He's just not wanting to share the same direction, and that's okay. I'm okay with that. Anyways, so you're writing this and you're kind of exploring this. You've got this series, but you want to go in other directions. Now, I'm assuming this is all contemporary writing. So what are your other directions you want to go in? What kind of other areas are you wanting to explore just with your writing?
Yeah, so I mean, a couple of the works in process that I currently have planned. One I've started, you know, one is more of kind of an oral fixation kink, you know, with an offshoot of one of the characters. You meet the son of the main characters of the offshoot that I'm currently working on in parallel with my current series. I don't want to spoil too many things, but the working title is One Teaspoon, and there's a certain bodily function that produces roughly, on average, per male, one teaspoon. So take that as you will.
We are adult, but it's okay. I'm feeling it doesn't take much to get me blushing. Okay, that's really cool.
And then you know, some of the others are going to be more conventional. One of them is the hostess of the club. You meet her and she's written already in a couple of the series. She has a very troubled past, and I'm actually introducing her past in the current book that I'm working on in the series, and she'll be a spinoff as well. And the club owners are another spinoff. In addition to Jen, who is another character that's been introduced, she's going to have her own series of books as well, which is going to be more of like a reverse harem type of kink that I'm planning on writing on there, because she's been very jaded by men, especially an ex-husband that she has.
Reverse extremely popular, popular. So, that sounds, you like have all these things planned. When do you find time to write?
That's the issue, is I should be writing more.
Shouldn't we all? You've got your started books. You've got several books out on Amazon. What is your writer's life look like? I mean, what has it taken for you time-wise, just time management-wise, to get these books out there? What have you, I mean, is there any, it's a big deal, I think, to be able to self-publish on Amazon. There are hoops to jump through. There's the writing the stories, a complete story. You're editing your story. You're getting it out there. There's a lot of things, and there's a lot of things in that to be really proud of. It's a big accomplishment. So what have you done to get yourself there? What do you do in a day or your day off, or how do you plan that?
Typically what I do is I've streamlined it to where I've got everything on Google Docs on a template. So, and what I do is I will write to that template if I have access to Google Docs and just basically edit while I write. The next thing that I do, if I can't have access to that, like, you know, I work a full-time job as well. And if there's downtime that I'm able to write, I don't have access to Google Docs. They don't allow it. So I use my Google Calendar and I'll write to a calendar event and then transcribe that over, copy and paste to my Google Docs document that I'm writing. When it comes to like my cover and my keywords and everything like that, again, I try to keep it simple and I have a template that I go in and change the cover image and the title. And it's everything's pre-formatted. So all I got to do is kind of plug and play.
That's really cool. That's a really good plan, actually, when you're producing the way you produce. I mean, you have, I don't know, how many do you have on Amazon? There was like several. It went, the bar went all the way across. And I'm like, wow.
I've currently got 7 published titles in the series. Wow. And then one that it's a spinoff that actually has no relation to the original book yet. I could always write them in somewhere, but currently they're not part of the main series.
Do you still have books up on Literotica or stories up on Literotica?
It's something that I've mulled back and forth on. I probably need to reach out to Literotica because books 1 through 3 are currently there, although they're in more of the quote unquote gross format of my early days of writing. So the grammar is really bad. Formatting is bad. And then two, I don't want to be a slap into the face of my Amazon readers that they could have gotten books 1 through 3 for free off of Literotica. But I do plan to write maybe shorts that are maybe 5,000 words or so and put them on Literotica just as, you know, side projects. Cause I do appreciate, and I want to give back to Literotica. It really was the leaping ground for me, you know?
Yeah, you know, the free sites and the communities, my leaping ground was Wattpad, and people make fun of it. They're like, oh, there's all this, that, and the other thing. There is, but there's also readers. And there's other writers to talk to. There, I mean, it's still a community, and it still is what ended up launching my book and making me into a writer. So, that's wonderful that you would give back and keep going there. I'm not a massive Literotica. Please, you need to update your interface, please.
Yes. Yeah.
You need to have a better way to get to the stories, to get to the author profiles. I like their little, have you tried the little phone app? That's kind of neat, but it's still, if you are on the chat forums, is there a shortcut to get back? I don't. And finding the you just need somebody to come in and stream. You got all the building blocks, Literotica.
And you got the population for it. You know, I almost feel like every time I go to Literotica, I should be hearing the sound of a dial-up modem in the background. You know, it's
no. How true is that? Because when I first started reading ebooks, when they first came out before Amazon was a thing, Literotica has actually been around since then, since like 2000, when some of the ebook companies first came out and that Amazon put out of business, more or less. But that's how long Literotica, that's when I probably first came around, you know, first heard of them and a few, but they have managed to stay around. They just need to, but it's still a great community. I wouldn't stop using it just because, you know, their interface is a little clunky. Mm-hmm. Some of my favorite people are still there and still published there and still managed to get a following there. And it's also, I like it's an 18 plus safe site. Well, it's not safe. Anybody could lie, but still it's a lot. You feel like your audience is an adult audience and,
yeah, or at least a self-proclaimed, they should understand that they're in an adult group.
Yes, exactly. That's one thing I know people have complained about other sites is that, you know, you never know. Well, it's true. You don't know anywhere on the internet. All you have to do is click the button and say, you know, let's not be total idiots, but at least, you know, you're trying to be safe. You're trying to be, a little bit more circumspect. So you're writing on Amazon, you've written on Literotica, you've got some plans for the future. So what do you read? You said you are a voracious reader. What do you love to read most?
You know, non, you know, I will say, you know, contemporary writing, non, you know, romance, erotica writing. I've always been a big fan of sci-fi and fantasy has been more of my favorite reads. You know, I grew up reading authors like Pierce Anthony, Orson Scott Card. You know, those were a lot of my favorite authors, you know, that I read growing up.
How come you're not writing that? Or have you? And it's just like moldering somewhere. You can't tell me you haven't. You have.
You know, and I'll be honest, I've not really put, you know, quote unquote, pen to paper when it's come to writing sci-fi and fantasy, because I've never really trusted myself to build a universe. But if anything, writing this has given me the courage to actually try that. So I might actually start up a second pen name mainly for, you know, contemporary writing. Again, that's one of the lines I don't want to cross, because I don't want my main writing in erotica to be confused with my non-erotica pen, you know. So
it's a big chasm. I get that. I totally can. Yeah, it's a big chasm. I can see that, especially from Piers Anthony. I read some Piers Anthony. I can't remember the book. And it, he was transported into another world, and he met this woman who kept constantly changing her personalities. The ugly personality, the ugly body was the nice personality. The pretty body was so stupid, but he kept, I can't remember the book. There was, but that had a touch of, that was a, and I was pretty young when I read that. I can't remember.
Yeah, I'm not remember which one that was. That sounds familiar, but I'm not putting into my mind where that was. Now, the ones that I really loved of his, and they kind of inspired me for the universal type of writing, you know, series and cross storytelling from one book to the next, was his Incarnations of Immortality series, where he writes about different aspects of the world, like death, time, fate, God, the devil, are a lot of the people that he writes about, and their offices that are held by people that were once alive in the world, and they can then ascend to these offices that, you know, there actually is a person that actually personifies death, or someone who personifies the god of war, and so on and so forth. But all of the books, you almost have to read them in order, otherwise you're going to catch references in a later book that you missed in a previous book. And I've read those backwards and forwards many times, each of those books.
So which one would I start with? If I'm going to start with a Piers Anthony book, which one am I going to start with that, that series?
That series, yeah, you would start, the first book would be On a Pale Horse, and it follows the personage of death.
And I haven't read him for years, but there's something now. He's a fantastic storyteller, but there was a quirkiness to his writing that kept pulling me forward. The reason I stopped probably was because of these long series. And at the time it was probably the 80s, and I get impatient waiting for books or trying to find the next book in a series. So tell me again, the first book that you would recommend for that.
On a Pale Horse.
On a Pale Horse by Piers Anthony. Because he was, it's been a long time since I picked up one of his books, but I remember him being a great storyteller. And Orson Scott Card is fantastic, but the last one I read, they killed the baby. I can't tell you what series it was. It was probably, it was like, okay, I'm not going to, you're just too dark. Yeah. That's it. I'm done.
And he's a hard author to read, you know, because sometimes one of the things that I've tried to do personally as an author is never to confuse my personal anything politics, religion wise with any of my writing. And I think that's one of the things that Orson Scott Card has unfortunately been cast into, because, you know, his political beliefs have, I think, overshadowed a lot of his writing, and his writing is really good writing.
Yes.
And I think that's one of his major downfalls. Some of his newer books he's gotten, and I just can't get into that. His older books, the Ender series, I read all of those. And then
was
the Earthrise series.
Was that the Ender series where the baby gets is sacrificed, or the child?
No, that might be, I think, the Alvin Maker series, and I've not
read
that
one. Oh, no, it's Alvin Maker. It's that one. It's that one.
Yeah, I've not read that one yet. That one's too dark for me.
I didn't know. And it had these beautiful moments. So yeah, it must have been way before, because I haven't read anything recently. You know, I think some of those authors are what kept the fantasy and the science fiction when they're beautifully written, that captivated me about some of his writing. He'd have these moments that were just very poignant and powerful. But at the same time, I'm, you know, you write erotica, so you know I write for escape. My romantic worlds are, they're violent and all these other things, but they're also happily ever after. I'm not writing true to life. I don't want the angstiness. I'm trying to, at least in the main characters, because I'm writing for escape. Life is hard, and the child thing was devastating. I was young. It was devastating. Some people love that. Give me angst. Make me feel it. You know, like,
and
go ahead.
I was saying, I've read, you know, the Game of Thrones books as well. And that was one of those ones at first I picked up and put down at least 5 or 6 times until I got so committed to it that I finished all the way through to his written works.
My gosh, so yes.
Like, when, oh, really? You just killed the wolf? Right.
Yeah, I know, right? Exactly, yes. I loved Game of Thrones. But those books, those epic I tell people, I haven't sat down to read aloud for a while. Maybe it's this way for you, but there, you can't read that book and be writing other things. You can't read those books and be doing other things. They are very consuming. You must get through the storylines. And because this freaking series isn't finished in print, it's deadly. I try to avoid, like, Jordan when he died. I just, like, I knew it was coming. And I know somebody else took it up, but it kills it for it. He passed on. And then he kept bringing back the bad guys anyways with the resurrect. I'm just sorry. I'm done. But you know what that's like, right? When there's and you get so, and you could commit to this writers. I want to be that kind of writer, but I don't want to do that to readers. Really.
And I don't want to spoil too much, but I hope I don't do that with the end of the series, because there is going to be a pretty major thing that happens at the end of the series, you know, that may or may upset people. So
come on.
My inner Martin might come out there. So
are your characters, do they take over? I mean, even though there's some your character, are they taking over? Are they deciding how things are going to go for you in your series?
Yeah. I mean, as I write them and they flesh out as more evolved people, because originally, and still to this day, a lot of my writing is more of written porn basically a certain extent. I'm very explicit in my writing. And I would say 70% of my writing is the sex scenes, but I still want to have that story there as well, especially across the series. And as I flesh out more and more, the books continue to grow. The original few books were only about 7,000 words. Now they're growing to about 11,000 to 12,000 words as I add more and more story elements into it, which has given me, again, the confidence to write contemporary writing as well, knowing that I'm writing a more congruent storyline.
There you go. You can do it. You know, that I understand that confidence thing. My first book, I kept it very simple. I didn't think I would publish it, but I kept it in my head. I still think of it as a series of scenes to get to the ending. It was a very simple plot line. I had somebody tell me they thought it was more complicated. My second book, which has all kinds of underlying plot lines, which just surprises me very much. The main couple romance was much simpler because their relationship started sooner. But I think the second book is more complicated, because I was, after finishing the first, I was like, I've been writing forever. But you know, when you finish something, Man, that's an amazing feeling.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, woo, I finished this thing. Then you want to run out and tell everybody. You know?
And then the constant reloading on Amazon when I publish it, you know, because it'll tell you that it's publishing and it tells you when it goes live. And my wife thinks I'm crazy because I'm always pulling it up on my phone, pulling it up on my laptop.
I finished it. Yay. It's so shiny. Checking it. And, yeah.
And I don't know about romance, but in erotica, unfortunately, it's a cliff. When it comes to when you put a new book out, within roughly 7 to 8 days, you disappear into the static of the void. So
it can be. It just depends on the story and the writer and your audience. You know, if your audience, romance readers are a little bit different than erotica readers. They are it's a different audience. Romance readers are, women are, they get into relationships with books. So, so, you know, and then they get into relationships with the, you know, it's a little bit different. It can be the black hole, and I probably at some point in time will meet that black hole, but I haven't yet. But I totally know what you're talking about. I've talked with a lot of writers who are like, and then you need, and it's really the way, you know, and you're doing it. You've got 7 books, really the having your backlog, keeping producing. That's really the way to go. I mean, you're going to have this massive backlog. It's, you'll be able to create bundle them together at some point in time. So as you keep going, it's always a, you know, it's a good thing what you're doing. You're creating your, I don't know. It's not just backlog. There's a word there that I don't want to say trail. That's like not it, but you know, you know, your body of work to keep, that's really the way. People are like, well, how do you make money? You just write a lot. That's how you make money. You don't stop. You don't get to make, you know, you don't get to write your one story. You've got to keep writing.
Yeah. And I think that's something that a lot of people get disenchanted with. And, you know, I've, you know, tried to coach a lot of people on Twitter that'll say, oh, you know, I'm getting down. I'm not getting any sales. I'm not getting any reads, you know? And when I first launched, it was the same thing. But what I noticed now is, you know, I might have a week where I have no page reads. And then over the weekend, you know, I'll see maybe that 2 or 3 people read the entire series, which is like a huge confidence boost that not only did they like the first one, but they continued all the way through book 7. So,
oh yeah, that's fantastic. That's an amazing feeling. That's one reason I like Wattpad, is because when I put the chapters up, or when I have, I can see when people go bim, 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 to the chapters. And I'm like, oh, I like that. I mean, I could check. It's harder. My publisher has my page reads and stuff, so I don't get to check that, which is good, because I would be, I'm getting better about not checking every day. My it was bad, my first book, but I'm better now. I'm just like, okay, I'm just going to put this out there. I really need to focus on writing. I'm in, you know, life transition right now, and I've not been writing enough, and it's hot. I don't know about, can you write in the heat? I cannot focus when I'm hot.
I need a fan. I have a fan in my bedroom. I'll use when I'm writing in the bedroom, or I have a fan in my computer room that I have on me, but
I need below zero like conditions. I need candy. I need coffee. I need things. Need my things. I need
the one thing I,
house. No.
I cannot write in silence. I know so many people that have to write in silence. I need to have, usually it has to be atmospheric music, like Chill Step, you know, that kind of thing.
I'll have going music in the background. On, but it still needs to be silent, because if somebody says, you know, I can make noise, but you can't. I'm a bit of a queen bee. I know it's bad. I'm sorry. Yeah, a little bit. The first ones that I completed, I had noise, but I was also working nights and I was trying to stay awake, and I needed something engaging so I was writing about 3 or 4 hours a night in the middle of the night, and it was very quiet, and I had to stay alert because I was caregiving with a patient who needed me every now and then to check on her, but I still had like 45 minutes of an hour. And so I was able to produce quite a bit of work then. And when that job, I'm like, oh, I need to recreate this. But it's different when you don't have to. Yeah, it's totally, it's been a transition for me. So if you liked, I wanted to ask what you watch. I'm very, you know, I had a romance author and we got off on all the great shows on TV. I don't like a watch. So you like to watch or you like to read fantasy and science fiction. Are you watching anything on Netflix or on HBO or anything that you like that is in that genre, the fantasy? Are there any great shows that you're like addicted to?
Yeah. I mean, typically, again, that's another thing I usually do, especially when I'm at work. I'll watch while I'm eating lunch. And I finished my most recent series I just finished was the Nightfall series on Netflix. It follows the Knights Templar, and it's kind of a quasi-history show about the Knights Templar. And part of it has some historically accurate things, and other parts are not. I just started The Walking Dead, never watched it yet, but you know, everybody talks good about it. So I literally watched the first episode today.
Oh, I think I watched the first 2 years and then they killed off my favorite character. So yeah, just be warned, people die.
I've heard.
You heard. I was like, no, you can't do it. And I know that was, you know, I knew it was coming, but I was like, I can't do this anymore. The constant. No, but it's a really, I like zombie. Do you like zombie movies? I like zombie movies and monster movies because they put people in extreme situations. I don't like them because they scare me. I like them because they put people in survival situations where everything is intense and it increases the tension. And I think it's more interesting. It's much more interesting than a hospital show to me. That's too reality. Okay, but you put zombies.
I like to escape, and sometimes quite literally. So
exactly. So one of my favorite movies was Aliens, just because it's so black and white, and it's so, oh, here's this monster. It's a very bad monster.
The Aliens versus Predator and Prometheus, those were really good movies as well, because it kind of elaborated on the backstory of the aliens, which was really intriguing as well. So
I really I'm so glad, because I feel like, you know, I don't know. I feel weird that those are like some of my favorite movies. You know, which one is it with where they're in the Egyptian temple and then the woman survives. I'm like, yeah, no, those are, and the newest one that came out now, not new now, but I did go and see it because, you know, it was Aliens. It was the one where predators, now there's a subset of predators and they're like clashing against each other and it's a little hard for me to figure out because there's no actual communication and I forget things, but there's I love that too. It's very simple. And then you put the humans in the mix who are trying to survive through all of this. And and then you have the cool, you know, predators. Come on. Really? They're just cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I mean it's quintessential badassery. You know, you just have to watch it. So.
Right. And the aliens, I mean, when aliens, is there anything that they can take these things down? They're just, you know, they're fast. They've got the acid. They got the freaking mouths that come out. And then they do all the, I mean, that's imagination right there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, and then some of the other books that I've read that I really like, again, the continuation of the story, like Michael Anderley, he does contemporary writing on Amazon, and he's done a fantastic job in a huge universe of vampires and werewolves and how those work. And, you know, that's a great series to read. He's got myriads amount that I've not read yet, you know, and more of the romance erotica genre. Diesel Jester has a great series out, and his Binary Stars, I think is what the series is called. that I'm reading right now, which is a great series as well. And it's more sci-fi. So I love those evolution of the history of things. And, you know, the Aliens versus Predator was very on point with that, with the first one that came out.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Seeing that, creating those worlds. And I'm not as much into the comic book characters because they were so, there's so much about the DC comics and the Marvel and all of that. That was way established before I even came into life. Then, you know, and I'm not young. So if it was already, if the backlog, and even, you know, Star Wars came out when I was 10, but I was too young to really, and then they create all this. I like a little bit, I love, like you said, the creating of the worlds and stuff and the seeing that evolution. But some of that stuff is just too, when you have like Star Trek has gotten like five different streams of Star Trek, mm-hmm. Star Trek Voyager, you know, I can't keep my focus. I'm having trouble talking, but yeah, so that's neat. And the whole different things with vampires, and tell me more about this writer with the vampires and the werewolves. I've not heard this name before.
Yeah. And that's, so the premise of the universe is that there are aliens of different backgrounds that have different views of the universe and how it's supposed to function. And they come to Earth at some point in our past and they messed with our physiology. And when they did so, it created vampires. And the vampires, they don't drink blood in the sense that we think that they need blood. They use it to replenish the nanites that are in their bloodstream. And werewolves have the reason why they transform into werewolves. And there's were animals like bears and so on and so forth. And they all come from different parts of this galactic society that's out there. I think the main series is called the Cuthrian Gambit, I believe, is like the first like 15 books that he wrote.
Okay.
And it's just, it's intriguing. And, you know, again, he writes in a very, you know, if I say, you know, how Michael Bay movies are to action movies, that's kind of how he writes. You know, people very criticize Michael Bay because there's not much story, quote unquote, to it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of cool explosions and combat scenes. That's kind of how this author writes. It's very enthralling to where it's not a very complex story. You probably would tongue in cheek when you're reading it, but it still pulls you in because of the combat and the fun in the story, which again, that's the escapism that we talk about, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm all about the escapism. And I like that you highlighted that, you know, it's one of the things that's different between, not all men and not women, but I find that it's harder. There are a few women that write pure action, but it, from what I've read of writers, men writers, it's more action centric, which is not a bad thing. I mean, it's the difference between the fantasy books, like, you know, that you might read. Every writer has their own bent and their own thing, but, I like the different feel in a book when it's books more action. This one's more character driven. This one's more political plot driven. You know, there's different. I like mm-hmm. that feel and a series that is fun like that. They're easier. They're more fun to get through. The action always pulls you through. I mean, it's whatever your bent is. Some people it's like, oh, the political intrigue and the mystery and all that pulls me through. But action, and for me, it's usually action or character. Not so much character. I don't like a lot of deep introspection. That's enough. You got one or two big. Get over it. That you're getting too real. Okay, I just we're not.
And I try to, keep that in the minimum. Even in my own writing, I don't want to get too caught in the weeds when it comes to, you know, I know there's the quintessential, you know, show don't tell when you're writing, but, you know, when I write, one of the ways I try to bring differences in is of how the voice is. If I'm writing from, say, Michelle's perspective, you know, I try to be more in touch with the tactile, the feeling, the emotions behind what's going on versus, you know, when I'm writing Mike's perspective, it's more of the, you know, cliched male stereotypical things, you know, the visual, you know, that type of stuff.
Yeah, that's good. That sounds wise. I'll have to check it out and see what you... there was a thread recently somebody, it happens all the time. Women do it more than men, pick on men writing, because some of the men writing, some of it is a little bit shameful, but it's also a man's point of view. And if that man happens in whose point of view it is, happens to think of women that way, then his writing comes out that way. And it's not necessarily, it's just not your cup of tea. But it's a different thing. Men and women think differently. I believe there's just different things going on in their brains. Some people can tap into both more easier than others. I think that the men that I write particularly aren't, I'm not going to say that men necessarily think that way. The men in my books think the way women believe they think, and women, that's why women are reading my books. So my main audience, I have had a few men read my book, but my main audience is women. And so I'm writing the men that women want to read or hate or love or whatever. But so there's a different, the craft of writing, there are so many ways you can approach it. And, if you just approach it with eyes wide open, I'm doing my best. These are my goals.
Yep. And that's kind of, I've learned it, like from the beginning of the podcast, it's an evolution of my writing and my writing. So, if you'll read the first three books, you might go, oh my God, this is absolute garbage. And then continue reading and you're like, oh, this gets so much better.
I know. My first book, I'm like, no, it's garbage. People liked it. But I'm like, oh, your second. Somebody always says, your first books are always garbage. Just get over it. You can go back and fix it.
And one of the things I really wanted to do and convey in this is a lot in the genre that I write, which is, considered the hot wife or swinging genre is, unfortunately, a lot of men are typecasted into more of the cuckold rather than being not to say that cuckolds aren't an agreeing partner, but the one, the men are the ones that's encouraging the hot wife rather than... And they're actively participating and not, sitting in a corner by themselves while the wife does what she wants. They're participating with the wife in her adventures. So that was my main story part about doing this, was maybe to put a different light on the hot wife genre,
Yeah. I like that too. You have your bent, your uniqueness, your way of approaching it. I interviewed Manus Dare, and he does cuckold, and he really likes to put his characters through the ringer, though. He likes a little bit more angst. And he's got this evil grin. He's like, that's just his thing. And, but that's fine. I mean, that's where he go. That's his bent on it, is that he really loves the deep conflict of it and the choices and the, and even sometimes he has a unique way of doing it, but even exploring the humiliation of it. And there's nothing wrong with anybody's, bent of how they go. I love that's, I say at the end, everybody's got a story to tell, even if I don't agree with it or understand it, it's still your story. And it still builds all these things, even if it's fantasy, it builds communication, it builds empathy, it asks questions, it makes people think. It's all good and healthy in even when it's smut, because it's still expressing our humanity. And that's a big thing for me, especially in these times where people are taking sides and they're not listening to each other anymore. Even in something where you're like, I write mostly porn, you're still doing, you're showing this growth of a character and you're doing, it's hard to write straight because porn to me is images. I mean, yes, there's interaction and there's what the 1, 2, 3 of the, this body part here, this body part there, when you're writing more on the smutty end, but there's still some, you have to have some kind of willpower behind your character to propel him into that situation, which and you want your reader to get that, right? You're not just writing porn. You couldn't be. How could you have any plot? I mean, porn has no plot. You're in a room, you have two people, they're naked, they do the things.
Sir, you deliver here. Here's your pizza. Oh, I dropped the tip. You know?
I mean, I don't even know if they have it. Just the porn that they're just there. They're suddenly there. Oh, look, there's another. I don't even get.
And that's one thing that I do a lot. You know, my sex scenes usually will be anywhere from 1,500 to 2,500 words long. So, you know, I really dive into the feelings, how that felt, you know, the smell, the taste, the touch, you know, the air in the room, you know, the goose pimples on the skin, you know, that type of stuff. Those are things that I really try to add into it to where it makes it feel so much more personal that you're really sitting in the room when that's going on, or you're that person in that moment, you know, is what I strive for.
Big difference from most, from a lot of, to tell you frankly, it's the reason why I don't read a lot of erotica written by men, is because it's just they may get their will or whatever, but like on Lit Erotica is where, you know, in browsing and like, okay, boom, boom, boom. And I'm like, you know, she showed her boobs, he touched them, then they got together and they did the happy wild thing. Does that work for you? That doesn't work for me.
No, personally, in my own personal experiences, you know, I don't like the, you know, the short and sweet sessions. You know, I'm more of the drawn out, you know, let's make it last. I get, you know, in real life, the quickies happen, but, you know, I'm more of the idealistic, I guess, person, you know, personally. And I portray that in my writing as well. You know, I like it to be drawn out more, not candles and moonlight, you know, romance type of stuff, but still have the feelings behind it. And, my work in process that hopefully will be done in the next couple of weeks is titled Feelings. And there will be a lot more of that connection that takes place during a lot of the interactions as well. So
that's neat. So the dividing line for me, and you can tell me whether you agree or not, between romance porn, like would be images. It would just be a series of, it's just the act. Erotica is a person's, individual journey. It's the erotic experience. It's one person, or it could be two persons, but it's more about the journey from point A to point B. Sometimes it's a revelation or whatever. A romance is a couple's journey. And I've had people say, well, it can't be romance if there's cheating. No, it can't be romance if there's more than one person. No, I'm sorry. It can. It can't be, you know, they try to, it can't be romance if they're alone and they touch them. No, because the other character can be watching and then you have a mental connection that takes place and all that is in romance books. But it ends up being a journey between two characters, and erotica is more, but you have a couple going on. So does it develop into a more romantic thing, or are you keeping your focus on or is it a parallel journey?
It's a parallel journey. You know, the main characters, Mike and Michelle, you know, for Mike, it is exploring what he's always wanted to explore, his fantasies and the swinging lifestyle. For Michelle, it's more of finding her true self in the sexual experiences that she has. And that, you know, at first she was very vanilla in her sexuality, and as she continues to grow in the swinging lifestyle, she grows into more and blossoms like a butterfly, you know, into more of a feeling not only for her husband but for other people that are in her circle of friends. You know, in the last book that I released, you know, they have a party with their neighbors, and you find out that's something that she's always wanted, you know, that she's always had, you know, a crush on her next door neighbor. So, you know, that it's, and, you know, my point of it at the end is that they fully transitioned from being, journeymen, I would say, in the lifestyle to being professionals in the lifestyle. and you know, that they're the better for it, you know, that they've actually grown as a couple and their love for one another has grown, you know, over their time in the journey.
Yeah.
You know, no, I don't want to be Wang Dam, thank you, ma'am, kind of stuff, you know.
My friend, do you know oh, I can't even say Cal's name, Callie Maxos on Twitter. You should know Cal. You should friend Cal because he knew a couple that was like that, a long-term couple that just loved each other to death, but they were swingers. And he talks about them with a lot of love and affection. He's like, you know, I never knew anybody quite like them because they're a real life couple as swingers who loved each other and they did things for each other. And this was just the swinging lifestyle was an expression of how much they loved each other and trusted each other. And how rare that is. You know, he talks mm-hmm. about their open communication. And even I've had some conversations with people on the show about when you talk about the BDSM lifestyle, the appeal of it really is you have to communicate about everything and be honest about your feelings, the feels. So that's mm-hmm. interesting. You're going to write a book about the feels. That's cool. That is very cool. Well, I'm looking at my time. That's why I'm like, it's been about an hour. And I want to thank you so much for coming on and being brave and talking with me about this. You know, you never know what you're going to get with an Isawellan show, where I'm going to go, what stupid thing I'm going to say, when I'm going to stick my foot in my mouth. But I'm so glad you came on and I got to hear about your books and your writing journey and, you know, where you're going and how you got where you are, and also your encouragement for other writers, you know, that this is what happens, this is where I've been, but keep going and you know, don't give up. I love that.
No, definitely. Thanks for having me on. I'm glad I was able to. I was so like nervous in the beginning. Am I going to mess this up? How am I going to get on here? Is it going to work? Is it not going to work?
Tell everybody. It's so easy.
it is a breeze, people. I'm telling you. Okay.
It is just, you're just having a conversation about books. Look, we talked about all your favorite things. We talked about writing, reading, and what movies you like. People get, they're like, what are we going to do? I'm like, we're just going to talk. Like I was telling somebody, as if we were trapped on a plane for an hour. You know? We're just shooting the breeze and just talking about all the easy things. And we both happen to be writers. I'm so glad to have you on. Anytime you want to call in or whatever, my podcasts are very sporadic now as I'm trying to get some of my own writing done and, you know, suffering in the heat. But it's so good to have you on. Thank you for volunteering. And if you have a new book or anything you want to share coming out, just hit me up. I'd love to have you back.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Thanks for having me on. Anytime you need an empty spot filled, just give me a ring and I'll do it.
I sure will. You have a great day.
Thanks. You too.
Segue right into that loud music right there. This is Isawellan Writes, and this has been another grown-up story time. I'm thinking about changing the title. What do you think, people? I thought it was kind of funny. Now I'm like, I don't know. Maybe it's kind of dorky. Thank you so much, Sean Edwards, for coming on. Thank you for sharing your story, how you became an erotic storyteller. I really appreciate it. Don't forget, people, that your story is important. Even if it's a smutty one, that it builds communication, it builds empathy, it joins us together, it crosses the divide. Have a great day, and we will talk again soon.